Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
If you have ever believed that operating a business in Europe has more bureaucracy, more red tape than in the United States, you are correct. And on today's episode, this is one of our first episodes that really is diving deep into the European market, much more as it relates to CBD. Because as you'll see, despite, you know, some of these countries legalizing the adult use and even the medical use of cannabis, it's not the extent as it is in the United States. All of you know I'm in France right now, and so I'm very interested in how to build a company here. We're not a consulting company, but an actual cannabis or a CBD-based company. And so on today's show, I have an entrepreneur that is a French entrepreneur that has made history in France and in the European Union and is currently based in the Czech Republic. Sebastian's going to talk to us about his entrepreneurial journey, but more importantly, how he is fighting regulators to get fair access for hemp and CBD products in France, as well as the entire kind of European Union. Now, I'll have a few more episodes down the pike that's going to talk about why this issue is so complex and follow up on this initial interview. This was done during Cannabis Business Week, where we were, you know, a little bit before where we are right now. And since then, there have been some very interesting changes that have happened in the European Union. Biggest change is that the European Commission decided mid-July that they believed it was more important to classify CBD based from plant extract, like that oil, as a narcotic, right? So we are pretty much backwards here, yet the medical market and the CBD market in Europe actually is larger than the United States. So this is a very fantastic interview. We can hear about the legalities of what's been happening. Sebastian is in a pretty big lawsuit, and if he wins, it's going to be very favorable for France as a whole, the CBD and the hemp industry in France as a whole, as well as the European Union. So please enjoy this episode. It's jam-packed with info, insight, and a lot of fun. More about what's the European market like, what is, you know, which is so vast in itself, and getting to talk to one entrepreneur that has worked in multiple countries in Europe and is really going to share, you know, his entrepreneurial story of building a few companies, I think, Sebastian, and kind of what is happening in Europe, because there's a lot of, you know, from an American standpoint, I think a lot of uncertainty. So Sebastian, thank you so much for joining Cannabis Business Minds and Cannabis Business Week.
Thank you, Simone, for the invitation, and my pleasure to speak to your audience and to tell them a little bit more about what's going on in Europe regarding the cannabis industry, whether it's medical cannabis or CBD.
Yeah.
And I guess there are going to be a lot of things a bit different. That's how it's going to, is it in America? I mean, we are also a lot behind, I believe, in terms of the dynamic of the market and the regulation, because that's the big struggle that we are facing right now in Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that I really want to kind of get into. Before that, I always want to, you know, want to share, because people that are listening often are thinking about getting into the industry, like how can they get in? And people come from such diverse backgrounds in this space. You came from like scientist studying in the Netherlands to, you know, entrepreneur. And so could you just talk to us kind of 30,000 foot view of what's your story?
Yeah, right. So, well, basically I'm now about 36 years old. Mm-hmm. And I started at the age of 23. I did a bachelor degree in Holland, and then from there I had the opportunity to go for a master, and through my bachelor internship I got to meet the people of Bedrocan, where at the time they were still a small company. They didn't have the Canadian branch and all the expansion that they have right now. Mm-hmm. and we got a good contact, and asked them if they would be willing to sponsor me for my master. And back in the days, they were really in favor of it. And it was also for them the an opportunity to get into the horticultural research aspect through the Wageningen University, which is one of the top five universities in horticulture. We have UC Davis in America, and then in Europe we have Wageningen. I don't even pronounce it properly, like the Dutch. You know. So basically, I did my master. So I had all my research projects related to cannabis, obviously.
Yeah.
I did mainly a study on the improvement of yield using different natural plant hormones. And I did also study on the rooting behavior of cuttings. So between the different strains of Indica sativas, hybrids, how they are rooted, and also the position on the plant. So that was quite a fun time.
Yeah.
And through that study, I was also, I came across an analytic method, which in half an hour give you the six main cannabinoids. And I decided to, that was quite interested. And I took it, that method, to elaborate a little bit more in a user-friendly way.
Yeah.
And that's what made the AlphaCat test kit.
Yeah.
And so when I finished my study, basically, I was hoping to get a position at Bedrocan, but that didn't happen. And so I was like, okay, so what I'm going to do? And that was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And back in that time, in Europe, there was no cannabis industry at all, not even CBD. But I had this test kit protocol that I made, and then I said, okay, well, let's start with that. So I created the AlphaCat test kit.
Yeah.
And from there, I kind of get into the cannabis industry. So talking to seed bank company, which are quite big in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Greenhouse Seed Bank, Seed, Paradise Seed, so the biggest Dutch seed bank, because back
then. Are they all based in the Netherlands? Or was this like, okay, so... Yeah, because I was thinking the ecosystem, just being in Cannafest and being in some of the European things with you over the past few years, like it seems like the Netherlands and Spain are the big sources for, and I guess the UK a little bit, for seeds. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, the UK, not that much. Actually, in the UK right now, officially they are not allowed to sell seeds.
Oh,
Yeah. So there is a lot of consumer, actually, the seeds buyer in the UK.
Yeah.
But the UK company now, they are based, their company in Spain, so they can trade the seeds
about
the difference. But yeah, the biggest pool of seed banks are based in Netherlands or in Spain, mainly. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so you basically were like, okay, I've designed this thing. I studied it at school. Luckily, Bedrocan funded that, right? That's so impressive that you got a sponsorship to go to school. Like, I think that's like amazing.
Yeah, and
then you're like, you know what? What other decision do I have but to start my own company? I think that's a really important thing. I hope we can kind of talk a little bit more about it. You know, being an entrepreneur in Europe, it seems like it has a different, especially in 2010, it's very different than entrepreneurship on the West Coast of the US, where I was like, I'm going to start a business, and like feeling like there's that kind of that dynamic to talk to people and kind of shoot ideas around and even maybe resources. How did you actually say, okay, I'm going to start a business? Like how, like what were those first steps?
Yeah, well, first is because I was basically my back against the wall in terms of like, okay, now I need to find a job.
Yeah.
And with my background, basically it was either I was going to work with like those big agro industry company like Syngenta, Monsanto, Bayer, or those big guys, which are not really my cup of tea in terms of ethic.
Yeah.
And all to work in a big production of tomato or cucumber. And after working with Bedrocan, I was like, no way, I'm not going to start to work with vegetables. I want to continue with cannabis. So that was kind of motivated me that to find a way, whatever that would take to continue in that industry. And then I was lucky at that time that I managed to get a bit of heritage to get the resources, because as you mentioned, resources is an issue in Europe. Like to get funding is not like in the state where you can easily fund some business angel or VC and show some sexy business plan and they're like, yeah, well, let's go for it. In Europe, it's like you need to talk to the bank. Just to even get your bank account open, you need to present the business plan.
Getting my bank account here, even though I had lived here before, was the hardest thing, even coming back. Like being an American, having like to go sign all of these different tax documents, like they like it's just a difficult, it's way harder in Europe. Just I think the bureaucracy of things, it's just extra steps, more paperwork. It's really inefficient.
A lot. And especially France, because France is a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of taxes. So it's kind of difficult to even get starting the business. Because you can register the business easily, let's say. But then after you have all the phase that you need to get a bank account, you need to get a location. So I was also lucky that I could start in the basement of my house. My dad had a big house, so I could actually do my small setting to produce my first test kit in that frame and kind of taking it from there. And then as I went along, after one or two years of commercializing my test kit, of course, the CBD, as I started with Bedrocan, I was already exposed to the CBD potential. And and I was thinking to actually get into the CBD. But back in the days, it was really hard to find CBD extract in Dubai. So I actually started in 2014 to grow the first CBD hemp field flower in France.
In France.
Yeah, because in France, there is also some crazy law where they allow you to grow the hemp, but you are not allowed to harvest the flower. You can only harvest the seeds or the stalk.
And we know that, like, if we're harvesting the stalk, we're not getting the benefits of what kind of a CBD oil, full spectrum oil could be. Correct?
Yeah, exactly. You have to get the flower to do the extraction. So actually, it's a funny story because it was 2013, actually. So back at that time, like even in Europe, nobody was talking much about CBD. Yeah. In state, there was Cannaway coming up and Blue Botanical, some of the Elixinol, like really early beginning. But in Europe, there was nothing, basically. So I grew my hemp. I made the Sensimilia hemp also. So I had to select a special hemp variety, which is not hermaphrodite, so like the issues, remove the male, and I get some nice buds. Actually, I was quite surprised, and because I didn't have the extraction facility like we can have today, and the labs, because also in France, if you start to extract, that means you need to deal with THC, so to find a lab, big headache. So I kind of did it in a artisanal way, where I did my own kif from the flower.
Okay.
So I concentrate the CBD into resin, and then I use this resin to actually dilute into the oil. And that was my first CBD oil I produced.
Oh, wow. And at that point, I guess you can actually use your own testing kit, right? To like know what's in it. But what was the percentage of CBD that you had?
So in the flower, I managed to get something around 6% CBD.
Yeah.
And when I did my kif, I came up to about 20-25% CBD.
Wow. I guess that shows the power of potency of like how you can take that flower and actually turn it into something like a kif. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And now, like if you wanted to do it today, if I would have to do the same, we'd probably go for rosin press. So you get like a more liquid, oni type of extract. And then like this, you can even get a little bit higher, like up to like maybe a 30 or 35% CBD. But obviously nowadays, there is some great labs that are offering great extracts. So I managed to select one of the best. that's what I'm using now with my CBD product. But that was really funny because to tell you a small story, in 2013, I made my CBD flower, my CBD oil, and I came to Spanabis where everybody was looking at me like, what, CBD? Yeah. And I was offering CBD flower, which now in Europe is like the big things.
Yeah.
In 2013, and nobody knew about it. And now today, like, they are selling CBD flower from hemp.
Yeah.
For retail, about 10 euros a gram.
That's such a trip. I mean, when did that start? So that's 2013. Nobody's even thinking about it. Was it like 2016, 17 that it started? Because I agree. Coming here, there's like 11 CBD / hemp shops. And I'm like, what? And I was really surprised to see it.
Yeah, and basically, so in my entrepreneurial adventure, after that, I decided to actually move to, I didn't move entirely to Czech Republic, but I had some good contacts in Prague that I met during CannaFest, and they were one of the first labs to actually produce CBD extract and CBD isolate as well. And back in the days, we were in good contact with some of the extract producer of Open Vape.
Okay, yeah.
And back in the day.
Yeah.
And so that was about
2014. Okay.
And so we're like, well, cool, Open Vape. Let's try to do the same in Europe, but with the CBD instead of THC. So that came out. It will be my first CBD vape brand. Was called Canavap. And with my ex-business partner at the time, we had the great idea to make an official press conference to announce the first CBD electronic cigarette in Europe, in Paris.
Yeah.
And that was not maybe the best idea because 2 hours after we made our public announcement, all the press were going insane, like, yeah, first e-joint on the market.
Yeah.
And we had some journalists going to the French Ministry of Health asking, oh, what do you think about this new product, Canavap? And she's like, whoa. This is bad for the youth. This is promoting cannabis for the youth. I'm going to do everything in my power to stop this company and this brand.
Wow. So I feel like that's like kind of really amazing that you could just do one press release and you could get the health minister talking about your company. I mean, at the same time, it's all like, I'm going to come after you. But yeah,
that was crazy because as soon as the French minister got involved, all the international press got to retake saying like, oh, the French Minister of Health banned the first e-joint in Europe. So like we had article in New York, Singapore, US, Canada. It was like insane.
What was going on through your mind that day? Like that day when you're like, you started reading that press, like, were you getting contacted? Like what was going on in your mind?
Yeah, it was like one of those, not success story because it was not a success story.
Yeah.
But one of those stories that like one day to another, like everybody is contacting you, your brand is all over the place and you just don't know how to couple with demand. Because also the problem is that when we launched it, we wanted to do a soft launch to collect emails and to figure out the way to get a payment gate system.
Because the payment, payment here in the U.S., well, I guess I'm in Europe now, but payment in the U.S., it's just the biggest barrier to anybody, right? And like, I talked to a woman based in Alabama, has several CBD shops, and she got approved even to have a bank account, and then they just shut her down for no reason. No reason. They knew exactly what she had been doing. They held more than $100,000 in her bank, like, and she was 3 to 5 weeks still waiting for it. She had to do all these lawsuits just to try to get her money. This is during a pandemic when, you know, she has to pay her rent. She has to pay her employees. Like they literally took everything. So, you know, from getting a bank account, that's one thing. Maintaining a bank account is a whole nother thing in the US. I'm curious because, you know, what is it like in Europe with A, you already told me it's hard to get a bank. We already know it's hard to get a bank account as an individual, right? So as a business, like, did you have the banking solution figured out?
Not at all. That was a big struggle. Actually, even today, still an issue. Now the thing is that you have those high risk payment gate system, which allow you to do CBD business and take your payment, but you have to pay crazy interest on transaction. So now you have some alternative. But back in the days, it was a big hassle. Like the first day that we had the press release, PayPal shut down all my accounts. So I was like, and even on my website, which was not related to CannabApp, which was for AlphaCat, because on AlphaCat, I was taking payment on PayPal, was no issue for 1 year. Yeah. And the moment they got to know me, everything crashed down. Wow. So we kind of get all these people who wanted to buy the product, but of course the website was not proper to get the payment. So people start to be angry. So it's kind of, it became from a, let's say, a dream to a nightmare very fast. So a lot of people angry. Why can we buy the product? It's not there. It's a scam. Ba 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 boop. So we kind of get back from it. We managed to make a nice communication, to the situation So we went through it. But the thing is that 2 months later, I had a visit from the police at my place in Marseille, where I had the lab and the office.
In the field? Did you still have the hemp field at that point?
No, but I had the harvest.
Oh, okay. You had all the harvest area. They're just, okay, what was the, and was it a knock on the door? What time was it? Like,
they came like 10 policemen, machine guns, like a raid, basically, like if I was doing something like, and the funny thing is that, so I had some hemp and all the product of CannaVap was in our other company in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So when they came, they were like, where is the CannaVap? Where is the product? Like, there's no product. We are just here. We're just doing the communication here. But the production, it's actually out in Czech Republic. So they were quite disappointed. They managed to take anything they could from the product. But basically, I had to shut down my business in France. And I moved to Czech Republic to continue my activity. Today, I'm still in the trial against France.
Yeah.
So it's now like 5 years. Wow. We went to the European Court of Justice because of the story that France was saying, like, but you produce your CBD in a non-legal way because you use the flower, and in France the flower is illegal. And I'm like, but no, but the flower was for an extraction in Czech Republic from which you got the product without THC, without nothing, completely legal in France. So what are we talking about? And that's what we are defending on the European Court of Justice. Wow. And the good news is that the European Court of Justice told us that we were in our right, and that a product that is legal in one European country is allowed to be sell freely in another one. So, and now we are waiting in September for the final judgment of the European Court of Justice, which might push France to change their law regarding hemp.
Yeah.
And maybe the whole European industry as well.
Do you need help with 280E strategy, cannabis regulation, and making sure that your accounting, your inventory, your cash management are all squared away for your cannabis business? Well, if you do, I've got you covered. Head on over to Cannabis Business Minds and check out Cannabis Finance Bootcamp, an online training that gives you the tools, the templates, and the training to help you in your cannabis business and your cannabis business needs. And because you're a podcast listener, you can enter in the promo code CBM2030 when you head over to checkout, and you get $25 off your purchase price. I think that was the common misconception. Okay, it needs to just be 0.2% THC. Let's see what can kind of happen throughout Europe. But hearing it from, somebody that's operating, so it's just a big hassle.
It's huge hassle because one, the first point, there is no law about CBD itself and CBD product derivatives. So it's like you're surfing in this gray zone where it's not illegal, but it's not legal. It's illegal, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with that. So that means like every day, you don't know what's coming, but you're still doing your business. And in France, especially, the situation is complicated because you have all these shops that sell CBD oil, CBD liquid. Now you have CBD flower. That is the big trend in Europe. And the legal limit is 0.2.
Yeah.
So there is people saying like products are okay below 0.2. But some say that no, it should be no THC. Mm. But because it's all about interpretation, so you never really know. So right now, all the current trial in France are actually waiting upon the decision of my court case of CANAVAP.
Which was the thing that made the news in May, right? Like this was is like an unprecedented time. Like this could change how France and Europe see CBD and hemp.
Yeah, because so that's for the French part. But on European level, regarding all the edibles like oils, capsules, gummy bear, chewing gums, whatever consumables that you will eat through CBD derivative is now classified as a novel food.
Okay.
Yeah. But that doesn't really mean anything because so first of all, the statute of novel food, it's not a law. Mm. So it doesn't have any juridical value.
Mm-hmm.
It's a recommendation. Mm. But because of this current process, a lot of European countries are saying, wow, so now we have some guidelines from Europe that CBD should be considered as novel food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they still haven't got their regulation straight on CBD. Mm. And they are still trying to push saying that this is novel food. So it's completely like paradoxical because on one side you have this recommendation.
Yeah.
On the other side you have no law.
Who's recommending this, right? Like it's not the World Health Organization.
No, it's the European Food and Safety.
So it's the European Food and Safety, which is basically going to be the equivalent, I'm imagining, of like the FDA.
Yeah.
Federal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So that's really, really frustrating. And I thought there had been movement, right? Because there was like discussions with the UN, there was discussions with the World Health Organization, but those seem to have led nowhere.
Yeah. And the problem is that in Europe, we're still like an old country in the mindset, very conservative. Yeah. And anything that touch cannabis, it's kind of a taboo in a way where politicians don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And for a long time, now it's changing, but for a very long time, up to 2 years ago, the politicians didn't even want to debate about it because they didn't know how to deal with it. So they didn't have any program on what to respond to the audience or to the public and like what should be our regulation in that sense. So they just basically try to push it as much as they can. But now we're in 2020. So they are seeing what's going on in the US and all over the world. Mm-hmm. So they are getting into the fact. So on the other side, a lot of European countries went forward with medical cannabis.
Yeah.
With medical prescription. So you have Germany, you have the Netherlands, you have Italy, Czech Republic, you have Denmark, Poland. Mm-hmm. Basically, out of the 27 member states, you have, if I'm not mistaken, almost about 20 countries which officially say, yes, we approve medical cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
But even so they approve it, it's still hell to get it to the pharmacy because the doctors, they are not trained to prescribe it.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors, they are very conservative. They don't even know what the endocannabinoid system is.
Yeah. So again, it goes back to education. And then also the doctors, because they're, you know, are they licensed by the country, right? So again, it's just like, so it would be an individual, like, country approach to even trying to change this. And then when you said, you know, oh, there's the, you know, certain countries have, like about 20 have, you know, approved it. So is that a law actually was passed and now they're regulating it? So for those countries, were the politicians just, there wasn't an issue there? Or like, that's the interesting thing. I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah, basically it's mainly due to the public.
Yeah.
Patient group, association, grassroots movement.
Oh, okay.
Advocating for the access to medical cannabis.
Yeah.
And most of the time, what happened in those countries that there has been a case with a patient getting cut, whether it's an epileptic children that need a CBD or THC, or some multiple sclerosis patient, or someone with a very hard condition. And where there were sentences, and that's usually started the debate. So most of the countries, that's how they get into the topic. But even so, they pass the law to say, okay, look, the people, we are giving you the possibility. But even after the law has been passed, it's so complicated on the administrative side that almost nothing is happening. Like, for example, let's say like the Netherlands, where it's one of the oldest countries to have medical cannabis, from Medjokan to the pharmacy prescribed by a doctor. There is like maybe 20,000 patients that get it on the whole country. And I'm sure, program since 2002. So it's like almost 20 years. It's insane.
Oh my God. And okay, so law passes, the pharmacist has to prescribe it. There's obviously like just this huge like gap and like vast gap between kind of that happening. And then you've got patients who probably, I'm curious, I had this discussion offline with one of our speakers, like as a patient, medical cannabis patient, just a patient as a health, like for health and wellness, you know, I actually find it kind of hard to trust doctors, not because I work in alternative health or any of that, like just through my own experience growing up in the United States, with kind of healthcare, the doctors that I had, you know, like, it's just like, I always felt like nervous asking a question. So I'm curious how patients in Europe that might need the benefits of this, that in a state, or excuse me, in a country that it really would solve, like if they have MS, it would solve their MS. Are they even aware of it to ask, right? Because it's like, what side do you kind of focus on? Do you focus on consumer education or potential patient education to drive, you know, the demand for more knowledge and I guess ease of access to the pharmacy? Or do you drive it through education at the university level for these conservative pharmacists, which seems a little bit harder? I'm curious, like what has happened? What are your thoughts on that?
It's very good questions. So the approach we actually took, because I created the first medical cannabis association in France for patients.
Oh, what? Yeah. Did not know that.
Yeah. It's called UFCM Eye Care, Union Francophone pour les Cannabinoids en Médecine Eye Care, which we gather patients and health professionals. And so what we decided to do as our main action, because we don't do much action more than that, it's to organize every year a conference in the medical school of Strasbourg. And now, since the past 3 years, we did it in the Pharmaceutical University of Strasbourg. And we invited speakers. I invited Ethan Rousseau, Professor Meshulam, Professor Anouche, some of the big name of the cannabis research, who came and give their speech about medical cannabis, the whole story about the endocannabinoid system and the dosing and everything. So there was quite some interest, of course, but it always comes down to, okay, But as French practitioner or French patient, how do I get my medicine? How do I get my practice legit if I want to do this? And that always been the problem because that's put the patient and the doctors in the situation where nobody is comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so basically, to answer your question, the approach is education, of course.
Yeah.
But that's just the top of the iceberg, because behind, it's all about auto support between patients, trying to get the medicine one patient has access to, so you will have the other patient. Mm-hmm. And then in between, you have the doctor that kind of assist them in the back, just to make sure that it's actually doing well, but nothing is quite official. So it's complicated.
It's so complicated. Are there caregivers? Like, you know, in California and Oregon and many countries, they have this caregiver model before medical was really regulated. And it makes sense. Like, this person's too sick, I'm going to be their caregiver, and in exchange, I can do blah, blah, blah. Depends on kind of what the state is. Do they have, I guess, the patient advocate or... that's an interesting thing. It seems like that could be.
Basically, there is not even statue as caregiver. It's like everything is submarine.
Sebastian, we have so much work to do. And it seems like exhausting.
Yeah. Now you're in France, so you know, you can bring your experience, because actually in France, so 2 years ago, they started a commission about medical cannabis. Last year, July, they say, okay, now we have enough evidence to say that medical cannabis needs to be available for certain group of patients.
Yeah.
And this year, late 2020, should start the first experiment on 2 years base with about 5,000 patients dealing with university hospitals. And they will get the supply from licensed producer in Canada.
Okay. So kind of that supply.
Yeah, but it's still not happening. There are still a lot of questions on how this should be unfolding.
Yeah.
Which cannabis they should have access, which patients should be accessing it. Mm. So a lot of patients are being left behind in this experiment, because they say only... neurological pain, spasticity, and epilepsy. So
that's so frustrating. And I don't know. I mean, like, this is now, when I did my very first presentation, when I met you in 2015 about the US economy, I remember I used this, like, I don't know if you ever need it or if anyone's listening that needs to visualize data, but it was called Tableau. And it's this really great way to put in like data and actually see the visualization of it. And I took all of the states in 2015 that all their medical conditions that they had, this might be useful actually with a conversation, right? And then you could actually see what the more conservative states versus the more liberal states like California, what all the qualifying conditions are. You know, is it 25 qualifying conditions? Is it 30? But the fact of the matter is that, like, we are in a pandemic, and PTSD and anxiety and stress are real conditions. Like, mental health is something that I'm curious about what the stigma is like in Europe, but it's a pretty big stigma still in the United States. It's like it's an invisible illness that cannabis helps.
Definitely. I cannot agree more. Yeah. The thing is that PTSD in Europe is still something seen as a...
like from war?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because we don't have as that culture of veteran soldier that you guys have in the US.
Yeah.
Then it's, you know, like in Europe, while France, we are quite more on the front line. Now, I'm not that proud about it, but we are there fighting against all those terrorist group in Middle East or in Africa.
Yeah.
So there is this issue, but it's not PTSD. It's not something being regarded as serious illness. Yeah. And the lobbying of veteran group is not that strong as it is in the US. So it's kind of a bit different. And on top of it, the psychiatric sector is also very conservative, and the general opinion in their field about cannabis is that actually cannabis makes you psycho.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of medical professionals that also think that, right? So I think there hasn't been, in some instances, enough, you know, research or studies, you know, to kind of make that. Because, I mean, think about it, THC is psychoactive. So I've been very stoned where I probably seemed a little, you know, out of it. And so that makes sense. But it almost seems like, okay, we have like two really big arguments, right? There's cannabis legalization and just like, what's happening with hemp. And I think that might be, so we had an interview with the executive director who regulates Michigan. And he said that one of the things, it was an issue, but one of the things to note was that regulation for medical cannabis passed and then boom, adult use passed, right? Of course, I'm talking about cannabis versus hemp, CBD and THC, but at some point it's like, maybe these stakeholders are hearing almost too much. Like it's like focus on one main conversation first. I don't know, like, what are your thoughts about that? And is that, do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like if you're hearing too much, it might be too confusing. It's like, what is the big, I guess for you, let's actually wrap it back to you and kind of where you are. You know, you're a hemp producer, you got Alpha Cat going on, you've been a huge proponent, you're pushing some stuff. Hopefully your lawsuit is going to change how things kind of happen. You know, where do you think we should be focused in the next 12 to 36 months on priorities for, you know, cannabis or hemp legalization in Europe?
Yeah, well, now the big discussion regarding hemp, it's around the flower, because this okay. market is like booming right now. As in Europe, we don't see the medical cannabis regulation as a way forward toward the adult use. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe a way forward toward acceptance of cannabis, but I don't, it's still going to be a long way before yeah. the adult use. Maybe the pandemic will change, because now there is a struggle and an economic level, and some country might think that could be. But so it is more about the CBD right now in Europe and the hemp. And so in that battle, the aim is to try to regulate the flower and to increase the level of THC acceptance. So, for example, in Italy, they are low the THC level up to 0.5%.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. In Europe, it depends on the country. For example, in Czech Republic, it's 0.3. In France, it's 0.2.
Yeah.
So there is still this unbalanced regulation toward the content of THC.
Yeah.
And which would be the key to allow a prosperous market for the flower. Because yeah. If you allow a THC limit to 1%, that means tomorrow we can have CBD strain with about 20% CBD yeah. and it'll be below 1% THC, which would give really good quality flower with great taste and good behavior. Because now what's happening is that the main producer are based in Italy or Switzerland, because in yeah. Switzerland, they have a limit of 1%.
Yeah.
But because they are growing those very potent CBD strain with the THC limit above 0.2, mm-hmm. so that after they come up with all bunch of technique to put down the THC level
to 0.1.
And that includes using solvents or using decarboxylation,
mm-hmm.
sometimes with buds that look brown because they are too decarboxylated.
Yeah.
All the terpenes are gone. So they are adding up terpenes into it to give back the flavor.
Yeah.
So it's opening the door to a lot of ugly behavior. I mean, it's not ugly in the sense that they are trying to sneak around, but because they need to reduce the THC. So people are using different techniques, which
that.
Are not ideal. And, yeah. and so there is, on one side, this big, huge CBD flower market that that is begging for regulation and a way to make their business legit.
Yeah. But
also a lot of problems through transport. For example, you have the legal product in Italy, you ship out to France, but it goes through Germany and then through the French custom, the product is being sized. So you have all this money stuck into the product that you cannot access it. So a lot of companies are going out of business because they have this problem of blockage product, plus they can't face a trial. It's insane right now.
Wow. Is there a central body like that all of these producers and anybody that's involved in the hemp and the CBD space in Europe is like paying to lobby, or that's lobbying on behalf like centrally for this? Because it's like that, it almost seems like if the big thing is, hey, we need consistency with THC levels of hemp, then I feel like it's a unified voice regardless of what country you're in.
So there is some lobbying group that take action in the country where it's in favor. So for example, Czech Republic, it's a very good country. There's big tolerance. CBD, there's actually a lot of producers of CBD extract are based in Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. They don't have issue with flower neither. Yeah. It's quite of a good country for industry. That's actually why I moved here. If you compare to France, where it's crazy.
It is so interesting.
And so what's happening, there is a lobby group in Germany that is trying to gather all the big actors of the industry all over the different country, Italy, UK, Germany, Austria. But they are doing a good work, I would say, but it's not because the disparity between countries is so important. It's hard to have it applied. So it's always, it's a bit like in the US where you have all the different states that have different regulation. And then on the federal level, it's hard to get to a common understanding. And so it's a little bit the same scenario. So you have some country, if you refer it as a state in the US, which are more open. So maybe like Spain would be more like California in the way that you have those cannabis social club where you can go be a member, buy all those strains, the Gorilla Glue, Girl Scout cookies, like openly good strain. Yeah. A lot of collaboration also with a Californian company like Cookies. Actually they opened their first merchandising shop in Europe in Barcelona. They made some collab with big clubs in Barcelona to introduce their strain also to the European people. So it's very complicated, and it's going to be up to each country to come up with their regulation, because the European level, now they are focusing on getting the economy right. After the pandemic. So I really don't know right now. Some groups are doing it. So there is, for example, the European International Hemp Association, which is quite big. And they are trying to lobby on the European level for novel food, to have the novel food application accepting for all kind of extract. But it's such a headache, because the novel food, you need to go through scientific data proof. You need to go through a toxicology study. So you need to prove that the CBD extract itself, you cannot be intoxicated with it. There is no addiction about it. And then if you don't have the right study, you need to fund the study. So that implies study on chimpanzee, which costs fortunes. It's
It's like we're at the very beginning of it. And, you know, unfortunately, when you're at the very beginning of it, you just, it's like a crazy hill. Like, it's not like even a hill like that. Like, it's just a crazy hill. And it's like, you want to focus on your, you want to focus energy in kind of one specific area, but there's just so many things going on. And like, this is trying to change like how like a substance that's been prohibited can now be food. So, I mean, it makes sense. I guess before we wrap up, I want to hear about you, kind of like your, so you have like literally, you know, you started with your journey. You talked about Alphcat, which is obviously still going, right? So you're spending, I think, quite some time on that, but then you also have your own kind of CBD company. Talk to us about kind of, you know, where you're at with both those companies right now. Like, do you have employees? Like, where are you in your growth?
Yes. So we are Fakat. I'm actually on the way to take level in terms of putting more being present in the US, because actually my market right now in Europe has been developed through the hemp industry. So that's something nice. But because of the interest of the low content of THC, which is something that put me into the regulation position, and I don't want that because I'm not a police agent.
Yeah.
So I'm still supporting the hemp industry, but the big market right now for me is North America, Canada, US, and Latin America. So right now I'm trying to set up, I set up a collab with an American company. Mm-hmm. And now we are about to launch a new test kit version, which shall be producing, but will be under a different name, which would be a little bit more sexy for the American market.
Yeah, okay.
And then through that, I'm looking at trying to enter those big hydroponic shop distributor.
Yeah. Well, who's your target market for the kit? Who's your target market for the kit?
So my target group are licensed producer.
Okay.
Licensed extractor, formulator.
Yeah.
Then, of course, patients, home growers, and seed bank.
Okay. So basically, a licensed producer would use the kit before they actually send it to mandated testing?
Exactly.
And if that is a precautionary thing. You got to listen to yesterday. We heard about this huge lawsuit of just not having your CBD tested before you buy it. Like, it's a very important internal control that is really like, because your kit's not expensive. Like, your kit is like less than, I don't remember. Like,
€80 a test, basically.
€80 a test?
Eight.
Yeah, that's like competitive slash a little bit low, right? So it's very competitive. Very cool. So then you're learning kind of more about the American market, building strategic relationships, having probably some evening calls so you can talk to your business partners. I think that's the hard part about being over here.
Like, I finished my day in Europe and then I'm starting the day with America.
Right. You're like, okay, espresso or whatever kind of caffeine you need. So that's one thing. And do you have a team? Like, talk to us about kind of your leadership. Like, are you leading other people? Is it kind of just you? Like, what's going on with that?
No, so I have a team of four people with me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pushing my collab. So I'm collaborating with big company.
Yeah.
Who is in the back dealing with the distribution aspect.
Yeah.
So I can kind of focus on production.
Yeah.
And also for my CBD product, I'm starting to take it to more into the private label producing, as I have my name is kind of speaking for itself.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of newbies that come to me to ask if to produce their own CBD brand. So that's actually the fun part right now I'm coming up with. Because as I'm a scientist, I always kind of lack of the marketing and distribution aspect. Even so, I'm always being there, but it takes another jobs to actually push the distribution. So I kind of partner up with big distributor and go from there, so I can focus on production. So that's what I'm doing right now. And it's kind of exciting because there is so many things that is happening in terms of like CBD product coming up, whether if it's oil or the flower or the e-liquid or the vape. Now the new thing is also I kind of now actually going to get back to the pen. That's the
next. Finally the market's ready.
Yeah. So it's like we are advancing, but so my stand right now, it's really to be more focused on the economical aspect.
Yeah.
And just try to push as much as possible my sales, mm-hmm. my production, mm-hmm. and of course being supported by lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure I'm not doing anything wrong, and just push the sales, because I came from the grassroots movement as an activist entrepreneur, And I've seen that actually it's not really paying off. And you are not really moving forward with regulator because you're still you're still doing something, but they don't really care. But when it comes to money, then you are taking their attention.
Yeah.
And then all the case that are moving forward is because of economical situation. So all the CBD business that have some issues,
yeah,
they are getting the attention of the regulator because they're like, okay, wait a minute, those people, they are paying their taxes, they are hiring people, so they are contributing to the economical growth of the country.
Yeah.
But we don't understand their product, and that's what's
the issue.
Through the case that is happening, then the regulator understand more what is it about. And the more that that happen, then the more they can think, okay, well, actually it's not that bad, this product. It doesn't bring any people to hospitals. It's even on the contrary, it's actually doing good things to people. And that's how the movement is happening. So you have, as there in the past with the medical patients, getting together to change the regulation. Now you have a collective of entrepreneurs that gather, doing some lobbying. And the lobbying is kind of the trend right now to try to speak to regulator. As I'm part of a lobby group also in Czech Republic, where they are trying to push the THC level up, to try to get the acceptance of CBD product on the national level.
Yeah.
And that's how things are being moved a little bit. But
oh, excellent. Well, are you ready for the speed round? It's how we end all of the podcasts and I guess now the Facebook Lives.
Okay.
All right. What is one piece of advice you would give somebody entering into the hemp European market?
Get a good lawyer.
I agree. What is, you know, what drives you when you think about doing all of the work that you're doing? Like, you are very passionate about what you do. Like, what is it that makes you so passionate?
Well, the plant itself and all the application that you can have with it, and the benefit that it can bring to the people on the personal level, but also to the economic, to the mindset also of our society. It's the whole revolution around cannabis that's really exciting because it's a big change and it's not easy, but that's what keeping me up at my bed every day with saying like I'm actually part of this change and I know we are doing the right thing. So that's kind of the economical plus the action. So with a good action, I think that's really the motif behind it.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. What is, you know, when you think about hemp legalization in the EU, like whenever that's going to be, what does it look like to you?
Huh. That's a tough one. In my imagination, I'm hoping that one day we will have like those CBD shop legit. So any product that which will have below a 0.2, but I hope maybe we will be able to increase that limit. But any product that will be below the THC limit that is accepted in the on the European level and on the national level.
Yeah.
Should be a legit shop and should be like something like a hemp wellness shop where you can go and get your CBD flower, CBD oil, and there is no issue about it. And then, of course, behind have the model of the Cannabis Social Club. I think it's quite an interesting one through association, grassroots, and on top of it have the medical cannabis through the pharmacy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited for whenever that happens. Yeah. The last one is how can people find out more about you and the work that you're doing?
Yes. So you can go to my website, www.alpha minuscat.org. You will see all the info about what I'm doing by myself. Of course, you can follow us on the social media at AlphaCat Lab on Instagram and Facebook.
Cool.
And you're happy to contact us, ask us some questions, and we'll be there to reply to you and help you to guide you through this European situation and through my product, of course.
And everybody that is watching live, we have one more interview today, and she's going to be talking to us about the importance of team and her story, really on the focus of team building and finding the right people in your business. If you are hiring anybody, or if you are really, you know, thinking about building a team, this is so important because team is everything. It's the way that you can scale a business if you have the right people. And if you don't have the right people on the bus, you'll see that that can turn into some really toxic stuff. So make sure that you can join in there. And that is in. All right.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.